they want. No recognition. They don't want a membership. They don't want a thank you note. Nothing. So we have no idea. No clue whatsoever.
An anonymous donation allows construction to begin on Eagle Flight enclosures on the Henderson Farm. And more locals took part in this year's Salmon Derby in Skagway. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. More than 125 fishermen entered last weekend's Patmore Memorial Salmon Derby in Skagway, with a record number of locals on the water.
Just a lot of people out there. I got to go out fishing on Saturday for a little while, and I think there was over 40 boats on the water.
The winning fish was reeled in by a Yukon angler, recalls organizer Alicia Wetland from the Taya Inlet Watershed Council.
The leader fish on the board this year was a whopping 38.05 pounds, brought in by a Whitehorse resident, Ken Olson, who fished all 4 days with his family on his boat called the Shakers.
But it was the second fish that made the first one so much more impressive, at 10 pounds lighter than the winner. And it was the name of that runner-up that gave the 6th Annual Derby a little more meaning.
The second prize winner was the brother of Pat Moore, or the person we named the event after. And all five of his brothers were fishing in the event, including his son. A whole boat of Moores out there all 4 days. And David approached me on the last day of the event and told me that all the prize money he collected, he wanted to re-donate to Luke Whitehead, another local man who was diagnosed with ALS, Luke Gehrig's, last year.
The Derby helped raise about $5,000 for several locally inspired causes. One of the recipients is the ALS Association, an advocacy group for the disease, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
And then the Olsen family, the family of the leaderboard fish, the 38-pounder, they together caught over 328 pounds of fish as a team award, so we were able to give them $400 prize money for the winning team, and they donated all of their fish to the banquet, so we were able to cook up a lot of fish and give away a lot of fish, and we were head-to-toe salmon by the end of the event.
The Derby winner's wife, Cheryl, led the women's category with 56 pounds of fish. She donated her jackpot back to the council for next year's event.
Really generous people. We had a great event. And it was sunny and it was calm, and we were watching everyone wrestle the fish in through binoculars, and it was fun to see the event, not from the docks this year, but actually from the water.
The prize for the biggest pink salmon went for a 7.5-pounder, and the flounder prize went to a 1.2-pound fish.
Our youngest person to enter the event is 11-year-old Haley Jensen. So she was our youngest this year. And then Parker Olson took in the most pounds as a youth at 123 pounds of fish. And Taylor Olson was our youth female leader with a 27.95 pound fish.
The tournament ran from Thursday morning to Sunday night and ended with a banquet that gave away a record number of prizes and money.
We did. We raised over $12,000 in prizes and donations, which is why we did a lot of raffles at the banquet. We had more prize money than we knew what to do with. We were also able to pre-raise our scholarship for next year. So our high school scholarship is already set away in the bank account from local businesses being gracious.
Taya Inlet Watershed Council, organizers of the 6th Annual Pat Moore Memorial Salmon Derby in Skagway, is online at taya.org. What would you do if you opened your mail and unexpectedly found an anonymous check written to you for $100,000?
Stared at me and was shaking his head, so I looked over his shoulder and saw the amount, and I thought I was going to have heart failure.
That's what the people at the American Bald Eagle Foundation in Haines did this week when they received an anonymous donation in the mail. Cheryl McRoberts with the group says the surprise money will allow construction on flight enclosures to begin on the Bob Henderson farm.
We got a phone call from the Schwab Charitable Fund asking for our physical address because there was a donor who wanted to make a donation and they wanted to mail us a check. We gave them the physical location, and because they wanted to have it delivered today, UPS delivered the envelope, and I handed it to Dave Olerud, and he opened the check. Opened up the envelope, and inside we found an anonymous donor had donated $100,000.
A letter accompanied the money, but not much else to give the local foundation any indication of the benefactor's identity.
Saying that the grant is in the amount of $100,000 made on behalf of an anonymous donor, and the grant is for the flight enclosure cages over on the Henderson's property. The donor does not want to be identified. They want no recognition. They don't want a membership. They don't want a thank you note. Nothing. we have no idea. No clue whatsoever.
On May 15th of this year, former borough mayor Bob Henderson said he would donate his 14-acre farm to the American Bald Eagle Foundation. He wanted it to be used for bird rehabilitation. The land is valued at just under $400,000. That story was published locally and was part of the newsletter that goes out to the organization's worldwide membership of about 300 people. Materials already exist for the project, but the new money will jumpstart the construction, says McRoberts.
Because now we can proceed ahead quickly. I mean, we knew that we had the materials to build the building, but we didn't have the funds to erect it. And now these funds are specifically for that flight enclosure. It allows us to pay for the labor to build these flight enclosures. It'll actually be a cage. It'll be open. And stand on the outside and see the eagles flying back and forth. It's going to be over on Bob Henderson's property, somewhere on the 14 acres. We haven't quite determined exactly where yet. Mr. Henderson wants it right outside of his living room window so he can watch the eagles.
McRoberts says the foundation hopes to have the enclosures complete by the end of the summer. She adds it'll be hard to see it go up without knowing exactly who to thank.
It was an amazing feeling. I was on cloud nine going to the bank to deposit it. I tried calling, and they said, no, the donor wants to remain anonymous. So we have no idea who this individual is, but we're very grateful.
Angoon is trying to end its relationship with a company helping it develop hydroelectric projects near Petersburg. It's part of an ongoing controversy over the Ruth Lake Power Project. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Angoon holds key federal permits needed to study the Ruth and Scenery Lake hydropower projects in Thomas Bay, about 15 miles north of Petersburg. The Admiralty Island village is about 70 miles northwest of the bay, and no one expects a power line to link the two anytime soon. But backers say the completed projects could bring income to the cash-strapped city.
It's the future. Our community's going to not exist anymore if we don't look to the future and try to solve the problems now that are going to exist in the future.
That's Mayor Albert Howard speaking at a recent tribal economic summit. He's been among those supporting a plan to partner with a private developer and seek government grants to build Ruth Lake.
The city of Angoon operates on $500,000 a year. You know, when you start these projects, once they get into place, you can get that $500,000 a year from these projects. It's a revenue-generating project.
But that plan appears to be on hold. Meeting minutes show that Angoon City Council earlier this year voted to freeze all action on the project, and the council recently asked its attorney to try to void all contracts with Cascade Creek. That's the private company attempting to develop Ruth and Scenery Lakes, as well as the Thomas Bay project the firm is named after. At the summit, Speaker Ben Johnson said the council's direction made sense.
They made it clear at that time that the mayor was not to proceed any further with that. This project, that all resources and energy were to be put towards getting Thayer Creek together and up and running, and that Ruth Lake is not to be put forward as it has been lately.
Thayer is a nearby hydropower project being developed by Kootsnuwu, Angoon's Village Native Corporation. Some supporters say the Ruth Lake project has taken focus and funding opportunities away from Thayer. That project's expected to stabilize or lower high power costs in the community. Cascade Creek's Tom Fisher attended the summit, where he discussed plans for developing hydro projects. But in a recent phone interview from his Bellingham, Washington office, he said he knew of no change in his company's relationship with Angoon.
Cascade Creek is in the middle of developing the Cascade Creek project, which is right near those. A lot of what we do will overlap into the other one, so as we do our field studies, we're also doing studies that would be applicable to those other two projects.
He said costs so far have been covered by Cascade Creek and its investors. Fisher also said the company, which plans to go public and sell stock, will work with Angoon on figuring out how to pay for the hydro plants.
There's certain funding that municipalities can get that the rest of us can't. There's certain funding that tribes can get, Native American tribes can get that the rest of us can't. And there's certain funding that private companies can get, such as ours, that would go public.
A larger plan calls for running electrical lines across the border into British Columbia and selling power through the mainland grid. But city council minutes show that plan will not involve Angoon, at least for now. A number of contentious meetings this year have focused on Ruth Lake, Angoon's relationship with Fisher, and the need to develop hydro closer to town. Even Mayor Howard, one of Ruth Lake's strongest supporters, said he wanted to cut ties with Cascade Creek and its employees. He said company officials lied to him, and he was walking away from the arrangement. But Angoon still holds Federal Energy Regulatory Commission permits needed to work toward building the projects, and they're good for another 2 years. Howard has suggested a partnership involving Petersburg, Wrangell, and possibly other communities, though representatives have not met to discuss that idea. Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cascade Creek separately also applied for those permits, and Petersburg has filed suit in the U.S. Court of Appeals seeking to void Angoon's permit. If it wins, it could have another shot at being the project's developer. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
This is Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. If you miss a newscast or want to hear one again, go to khns.org and go to the listen page.